Do you think I need to go and paint that yellow BR, bruv?
To my ears when the gun clap. You a stupid motherfucker, here, dunce cap. Shoot you in the fucking stomach where your lunch at. I ain't listening no more, cause sun whack. I'm like busting inside a rubber, I come strapped. Y'all wanna hear a fun fact?
Wanna hear something?
My guns is heavy on the scale, guard dumb fat. Where the Marsburg, where the dum-dums at? 93 million miles away from where the sun's at. I'm Jimmy nine times, cousin, you a dumb rat. I put you in the back of the act with pun mask. I'm a grown-ass lion, you a young cat. Wet him up, better hope the ambulance come stack. Take the shotty off the gun rack. The shotty toss his body on the ground like when Charles Barkley son shot. Birth, get hurt, who's first? I bloodthirst, shoot up your hearse. It's insane, let me explain the pain. I came to reign supreme, hammer damage your brain. Highly flammable, easily slaying you. I do what I came to do, your hood should be ashamed of you. Black Poe, murder motherfuckers up. Yo, what the fuck is up? I don't care what they say, you fuckers suck. The black monster, go harder. Spit pure lava, word to the father. Don't make me show up at your crib with the pump.
Well, it's lovely to see you both.
Yes,
you guys fucking rule. Lovely guys.
Episode 179. Yeah, with my boy Tizer in his house, the arms his house.
Idiot's crew.
Yes.
ID.
Morons.
How long have we known each other, man? When was the first time you met Tyze?
You post things of you and me painting, and it was like decades ago already. Yeah.
2012, 2008. I can't even remember first time I met you.
I met you first.
Yeah.
And I met you after, but it's been a long time.
You basically said you saved the best till last. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Of course.
How do you feel about interviews? Because you're always, like, I see you online. There's this one thing, it almost went a bit viral of you chatting and some guy was asking you about life and shit like that. And you just went on some philosophical rant. You must have seen this.
Yeah,
it was cool, man. Like, there was just, we were playing in Allen Gardens and these two young guys were like, hey, we're doing this thing where we ask people what's their lore. And I was like, what? Like,
oh, the law, yeah, L-O-R.
I was like, what, like folklore? And they were like, yeah.
What's your lore?
Tried to be an artist since I was a kid, really. Graffiti spoke to me. It was the only art form that was made up by children. I was 12 when I started. It was rebellious. It was secretive. I could have a superhero side of my personality that other people didn't know about.
And then I don't know. I try to be as honest as I can be when I'm asked questions because you know it's I don't know. It's not many times that people actually get to, as graffiti writers, you don't really get to say much for yourself. Do you know what I mean? It's other people talking about how much they hate you. Or
It's changed though over the years.
From
when we started, when it was proper demonized and only negative shit about it, whereas now it became a little bit of a darling of the art world. And then whole street art thing came in, which brought another big bunch of gray area into the mix.
Yeah, but that's great. Do you know what I mean? Like the thing is when we were kids, like I keep telling people overseas because a lot of people are a lot younger than us. Do you know what I mean? And
a lot of people are a lot younger than us. Yeah.
Too many.
Too many
generations
now.
Yeah.
But you know, I say to them like, "Oh, when I was a kid, I never told my girlfriends that I did graffiti," and they were like, "Why not?" And I'm like, "Well, it was highly illegal when we were kids. Like, your girlfriend would have been like, what the fuck are you painting on other people's shit for you're an asshole. Do you know what I mean? Like, they, everybody hated us. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. We were despised.
And it was very much back then when you said graffiti, people were thinking of I Was Here, that type of graffiti, vandalism, criminal damage, and they think you were 16 or 15 years old.
For sure.
Like, you know, it was a kid's thing.
Well, it is.
And it is.
It's the, but it's the only art form that was made up by children.
Yeah. So
that's why it's, that's why children find it incredible.
Of course.
But then also you can, because you're putting your soul into your artwork, then that's why it's exciting for young people when they see it. And that's why it's still exciting for us.
And it's accessible, so accessible to do. There's no real wrong. I mean, there is right and wrong, I guess, but it's subjective. You know, you can kind of jump into it on a base level. Some people called it, I think Odyssey said, it's like kind of an outsider art.
For sure.
So you don't need to be technically trained. You don't need to be formally trained. You don't need to know, learn the theory, although it, all that stuff helps.
Yeah, but you, but you learn that by doing
it. By doing it, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you learn everything. You learn about color theory. You learn about perspective. You learn about character design.
Distance.
Yeah, you learn about typography.
So what about you? This brings me into, this is a good link into, you. The way you drop an outline isn't the way that 99% of people drop an outline.
Yeah.
Talk me through that.
Okay, so
I would just do the T and then the H and then the E A M.
Yeah, well, the thing is because I was painting so much because I was unhappy. I got kind of I was painting so much that when I'd get home I was too tired to do an outline. So I stopped going to walls with outlines, and for me that's better because I can figure out what I'm going to paint and that's how I feel on that day.
Yeah.
So when I look back at it, I can go, oh, that's, I can tell by my graffiti if I was angry or happy or, do you know what I mean? Like, and so when I sketch up, I see how much space I have and then I do dashes for each letter.
And you do dashes, like
well, they kind of, so I'll do a kind of little goal post for like the part of my T where my the bottom
the cross
part
bit.
Yeah,
the cross bit, and then I'll do the bottom bit
like a where, little ch-ch-ch.
No, just like a goal post.
What are those bits there? There's like the S and the E and the R.
Yeah, so this is the top part of my E.
Yeah.
And then I know I've got this much space. My E.
And that's the R there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So then I can, then I know how much space I have for each letter. And if I start with my E, I'll do it differently. Because when I was younger, I would always start with my T and then I would fit my letters the same way every time.
Mm-hmm.
And then by starting with like your third letter or your second letter, you'll do it differently and then you have to fit everything else.
Yeah, I'm going to do that today when we paint.
Yeah,
I'm going to do start with the H or whatever.
That's interesting because I've noticed you do it. I do all the fucking time. If you do start with your first letter, which most people do, by the time you've reached your last letter, you might be doing a different fucking style the first letter. Then you kind of got to go back into the first letter make it fit a bit more. Yeah, but then, if you start from different letters, the only ever time when I've not started from the first letter is if I'm doing something that has to be like equidistant from center, like a blockbuster or something, you know, I'll have to map out exactly
to see how much space you got.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I always wanted, so no matter how small my space is, I can always go high and long.
Yeah.
Or I can, I want to have a bit so I can kick my R out a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. So you've always, you went through a phase of doing massive long bits on the R, I remember.
Yeah,
you
but
it's so fucking much, man. What's your favorite part of the process?
Outlining.
Outline, right at the end, once you've done the fill, background.
I see that, I get really bored with painting my fill, so I just try to get as much paint on the wall as possible.
Okay.
And if everything's going wrong, just outline everything because then it looks cool.
Brings it
Do you fill it in with fat caps and then put a skinny on and do a little bit of zigzags and then
But you could use, I'm assuming, because I know some writers, when you talk about caps and nozzles, they're like, give me any nozzle, I'll make it work.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's,
yeah, know. But like I've, over the years, I've just tried to, recently I've just been trying to use just one nozzle and see how it goes.
Depends on how bored of graph you are, isn't it? If you're like super bored that day, I'm just going to fucking...
That's the thing we talk about on the pod, like we you know, because graph has evolved and developed into a multi-billion dollar industry, and there's so many people from so many walks of life. You go to any city, even a small city, there's going to be a graph element in that city somewhere.
Which is incredible, because it started from children in the late 60s in New York and Philadelphia.
It's crazy.
And LA had a whole kind of cello thing.
Yeah.
And I guess...
And Philly as well.
Yeah, but like English kids were doing graffiti already.
The punk.
You know what I mean? Like in punk and skinhead stuff. So when I first moved to London in 1982 with my brother, we lived with my aunt and uncle and their kids, and their children were older than us, and they knew that we went through crazy shit, so they were like, right, you're our little brothers, do you know what I mean? So
that's when you got to England.
So my cousin, he was the first person we ever saw do a tag, and because he was a punk, he did it. His name's Tom, and he used to do block letter Tom, and then he did the hashtag for the O on the telephone. And he was like, see, I was way before my time, do you know what I mean? But we were like, holy shit, he's writing on something that's not his. Do you know what I mean?
So,
but then we saw the kind of beginnings of electro that turned into hip hop. Do you know what I mean? And then
that initial wave coming over. Yeah.
But we saw the death of British ska and punk, because that's what we were into, because my cousins were punks. Mm-hmm. So we were like...
Your English cousins were punks?
Yes. Yeah. So
what you're saying is you came to England and the people were just better than Americans from the off.
No, I'm not saying that at all. Like but they were, my cousins are cool fuckers. Do you know what I mean? Like,
so he was doing graph, he was a punk, and he was taking you under his wing.
Mm. Yeah. But like he took us to see the Futura piece.
Oh, did he?
So yeah, because he rapped on the Clash album.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we went from Sydenham to Westway,
not too far from here actually.
But back then it took 2 hours to get.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And as kids, we were like, wow, we fucking went all the way to West London to stand in front of a wall.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So did you go to the wall or did you just go past on the
train? No, we stood in front of it.
Yeah.
And like...
What year is this? Early
83, 83, something like that.
Damn, son.
It was an iconic piece. Futura was touring with The Clash. Mm. And I think at that show at the Saatchi, wasn't there, didn't they have that backdrop that he painted for The Clash that they toured around with that he would do live sometimes?
Yes, for sure.
And then, so while he stopped off in London, he popped out, did that Futura piece down here in the Acklam Row, whatever it was.
Yeah. Royal Oak.
And it just influenced fucking so many people here.
For sure.
To see it in the flesh.
Because we did that, me and my brother, we were like, oh, graffiti's really important.
Yeah.
And then, like, I don't know, there must have been like a couple of weeks later, he used to walk us to primary school. And we came around the corner and there was a funk piece, not the funk who writes now, but it was a funk piece with a Afro character with goggles. And we were like, what the fuck? Like, that wasn't here yesterday. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? We were like, what? And I turned around to my cousin and I was like, yo, what does funk mean? And he was like, I don't know, it's some like bullshit soul music. And me and my brother looked at each other and we were like, but it's the coolest shit we've ever seen in our lives. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't care, he doesn't like it. That's fucking sick. And then we started like trying to read tags, and then, because my mum worked in the West End, when we'd go into town, we'd see tags from people from Brixton, like Pest. Yeah. And we were like, oh, people travel and do their tags. So we were like, we started realizing that people travel to get their name up.
Understanding that this is
together,
a movement.
Piecing things together.
But like back
it's
then.
It's spreading across Londinium.
Yeah, but you like, as kids, then we, because punk and ska, British punk and ska music was dying, all of our punk heroes started making disco rap tunes. So,
Malcolm McLaren,
fucking we really liked The Damned, and Captain Sensible did a sellout album, a Christmas sellout album, and he did a song called What?
Okay.
They got to number one, which is a disco rap tune.
Okay, that should be your tune.
Yeah, fuck it. All right, yeah, yeah.
What is it, Set It Up Again?
It's What, W-O-T, and it's like a Christmas album. It's like, it's a sellout.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like, what's his name, who?
Captain Sensible.
Captain Sensible, yeah, I do know.
He was the guy
this.
With the red beret.
Swine. So I called reception, but to no avail. That's why I'm telling you this sorry tale. It went bang, I said shut up. It went bang, I said wrap up. Well, I'm aware that the guy must do his work, but the paunch of a man drove me berserk. He said captain, I said what? He said captain, I said what?
Who yeah. used to wear like furry clothes, like as all the rest of his band were like goth. They started the goth movement, do you know what I mean?
And music has always been linked with the graph.
For sure.
The art and the music has always been an intrinsic part. Yeah.
Well, later on, two of the guys from The Clash made Big Audio Dynamite. Mm-hmm. And then they got two poppers from Covent Garden.
Let me guess.
It's
Beastmaster Solo.
No. It's Basil Pepperpot.
And, okay.
I can't remember what the other guy's name is, but he was the younger brother in the movie Babylon.
Okay. Fucking hell.
So they were really famous poppers, and Bionic was a b-boy.
Bionic, yeah, from London Posse.
Juggle, they're fun, they go. In case you never know, I am a star for the show. Along with Bionic, me quick, me slick, me never come for rap, me come to chat this lyric. To bust this style, we were the first. The human beatbox with the roots reggae verse. So to all I hear, to all pirate, don't duplicate if you don't want to dread. The living you need is giving you the beat. My spark calls heap, I make the girls them beat. And I'm the Bionic, me sweet, me neat. And in a film, my team, you show me quality. See, Paul, my great dream, my beatbox, my spark. Go on upon the mic and tell him who you are.
My name is C. Paul. I'm giving you a show. And I'm on my mic. To a shop, rap, right.
He's. Because he doesn't have any legs. He's born with no legs. He's got metal legs.
Who?
Bionic.
Oh, is that why he's called Bionic?
Yeah.
I never fucking knew that. I met the guy a couple of times.
Right, yeah,
I didn't notice he didn't.
Yeah,
I
mean, he's really nice dude. They used to battle people and then.
Oh, when he'd pull out the legs and shit.
No, he would do a handstand while they did a b-boy stance. Yeah. He would do a handstand and then he did a thing called the scorpion where.
And his legs would
Legs would fall on his legs and everybody in the crowd would be like, what the fuck?
Wow.
Well, he's got no legs.
Yeah, yeah. That's why he's called Bionic.
Both legs?
Yeah.
Like from the knee down? Or you don't know?
From the knee down.
Wow.
What? I never knew that.
So then...
that's deep.
The two guys, well, they were like, they were starting to tour and they asked Basil if they knew any rappers and they knew Sipo. And he also knew Bionic, and Sipo was friends with Rodney P and Billy Business.
Okay.
So then when they toured around Europe and America, that's why they were called the London Posse, because they rapped in British accents.
Sick.
And then people were like, oh, you guys are good MCs, but you got an English accent. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because that was like so unheard of at the time. Any UK rappers were...
Well, it was only, really... the police officer, don't give me
produce. Police officer, no bother give me produce. Police officer, no give me produce. Police officer, no bother give me produce. To everybody in the downtown, I dedicate this style. Whether you are lawbreaker or you are informer, you could be a PCCID or an inspector. Me no charge for murder, fainting to produce is where me charge for. So, police officer, no give me produce. Police officer, no bother give me produce.
Smiley culture.
Oh, smiley culture, smiley of culture. Course.
But
rest
he did
Cockney Translation.
Cockney Translation.
Yeah, big tune.
Yeah. So that was inspirational.
He died in police custody, right?
No, Smiley. he got murdered by the police.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He got killed by the police. Yeah, I remember all the outrage behind that.
They did stickers when he passed away of, you know, I met the Met, and had pictures of Smiley.
You made that?
No. I saw it. I wanted to take it off. I wanted to steal one, but I thought, no, it should be left up. But yes. I wish I did steal one of those stickers.
Because we mentioned Malcolm McLaren. I just got to make a little note of this for people who might not know. You ended up painting his coffin he was buried in.
Yeah.
That's such a fucking epic thing to be part of.
Yeah, right?
I mean,
it's
sad
crazy.
Thing, obviously.
For sure.
Someone passed, but...
Friends and family sang and danced in tribute to the late punk legend. Malcolm McLaren, best known as the manager of the Sex Pistols, was given a suitably flamboyant send-off as his coffin was led through the streets of central London in a horse-drawn carriage. Mourners included McLaren's former partner, Dame Vivian Westwood, his friend, Sir Bob Geldof, and drummer Paul Cook. The 200-strong funeral party were encouraged to dance around and throw up their hands. McLaren's black coffin was spray-painted with the words "Too Fast to Live, Too Young to Die," the name of his shop on London's King Road in the 1970s.
I saw it as well. It's got speakers on it. And
Insane.
Yeah,
well, his son, my ex-girlfriend, used to work for Agent Provocateur, and he started that. And he's the son of Malcolm McLaren and Vivian Westwood.
Was it like a thing that Malcolm had wanted before he passed?
His son, I knew his son because I dated my girlfriend for many years. Yeah. And he was like, oh, you're a graffiti writer. Can you paint my dad's coffin? And I was like, yeah, of course.
Shit.
And he was like, I want to have, on the sides, he wanted Too Fast to Live, Too Young to Die, which is the...
like in a
biker,
tag.
The biker.
The motto thing. The Hells Angels?
Hells Angels.
Oh, okay.
So it's a Hells Angels motto, but Vivian Westwood had their first shop was called Sex.
Mm.
And it said underneath it, "Too Fast to Live, Too Young to Die."
Deep.
And it was the first punk clothing shop.
Vivian Westwood legend.
They started the Sex Pistols. So he was the manager of the Sex Pistols.
Who?
Malcolm McLaren.
He saw the block party, so then he made a hip hop album, which had, so when his son asked me to do the coffin, I was like, yes, of course I can do that, but I would like to do a boombox on the top, so when the pallbearers are holding it, it's got a boombox.
I said,
for me, I was into punk, but then also I got into hip hop, and so it relates to me. And also Dondi, who passed away, it was the first time anyone saw people outlining letters in a video, and it had B-boy, and it got to number one. And literally, the next day, kids started.
The rest is history, man.
Yeah. So
it's insane.
And also it had Keith Haring did the inside covers, and then Ramel Z helped put the horns on the boombox.
Mm.
But his son said, oh, can you not write Duck Rock on it? Because he did lots of other albums. Yeah. But with the colors on it, people will realize that it's the same boombox that's on the front cover of the album.
Sick, man. It's so epic to have to do
that. You were the only person that painted it.
Yeah. I did it in the fucking, in the morgue.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. They said,
did you take your spray cans into the morgue?
They were like, oh, do you want to paint it? I was like, I'll just do it out in the courtyard. And they were like, nah, you might get paint on the cars. And I was like, no, I won't. I don't know what I'm doing.
Dead bodies.
And they were like, no, you got to do it in the morgue. And then so I went in there and they had the fucking, they had all the fridges with the alphabet on it.
Damn.
And there was two people underneath sheets. One dude's foot was sticking out.
With the toe tag on it.
No, just a foot sticking out. And then the guy, after about 5 minutes, was like, right, I'll see you later. And I was like, what, you're going to leave me here by myself?
They're dead dudes.
And he went, what, are you scared? And I was like, well, not really, but I did watch Zombieland last night. And he went, right, mate, if any of them start moving, fucking leg it.
Really, but, was he like that? Was he like, you fucking scared?
mate.
But that was quite a cool.
Did you do it in spray paint along the side?
Yeah.
What was it? The motto?
Too fast to live, too young to die.
Just one side?
On both sides. Both sides, on the long sides, and then I did the boom box on the top.
Yeah.
There's photographs of it. Like, my brother posted the photograph on the internet of the guy who said, because I asked him to hold up the lid.
Yeah.
And that's the guy who goes, you fucking scared? And then you can see all the fridges behind it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy.
So when you were in there, there was fridges and there was dudes not in fridges, just with like sheets on them with their feet sticking up.
At one point when I was painting, I was like zoned out and then I felt something nudging me. And I turned around and they were both laughing, pushing some dead person into my leg. And I was like, get the fuck away from me. Like, and then they cleaned the body and you could smell like...
Proper lemon squeezer geezers.
Yeah.
I had a mate who worked in a morgue and they develop a mad, twisted sense of humor and they become like, you know, jaded to all the death around them. It's kind of fucked up. But someone's got to do it, you know what I mean?
For sure.
Fucking hell. Listen, you're in bear crews, but one crew in particular that I don't think many people here really appreciate. I don't know, that's maybe a dumb thing to say. Lord's crew.
Yeah, Funky Lords.
Yeah, well, tell me a little bit about the origins of that crew, how you got in it, and who are the heavy hitters? I know that guy, he's a battle rapper as well, Top R. Wins.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorites. I love his rapping. We chatted to him. We might be getting him on the pod soon as well.
Wins.
Wins. He writes Wins. He's in, I think, Sacramento or somewhere in the West. I can't remember where. But yeah, how the fuck did you get into that crew?
So, yeah, originally it was a crew that started in Sacramento.
Okay.
So, like, you know Poe One, the B-boy?
Mm.
He's Lloyd's.
Okay.
So it was originally TFL. It was the Funky Lords. Uh-huh. And that's why it's Lords.
From the 80s? It's like an old crew
It's from the 80s. And then it kind of moved to San Francisco, and then lots of people kind of moved out from there. But so about 2016, I'm friends with Nichos.
He's Italian, right?
No. He's from Austria.
Austria, okay.
So there's some other writers from Austria, which is Fex, P-H-E-K-T-S, I think, Fex. And he's like the most important kind of hip-hop DJ. He's like Westwood.
Okay, in Austria.
In Austria. So he does the main kind of hip-hop thing. And Shoe 77 as well. So Sworn... he's got English family, so he used to come over, and then those guys, well, Nichos was like, I'll get in touch with Ties. So when he was coming, I was just like, fucking sleep on my couch, man. So whenever he came to England, we just went out and painted together, and before he went up north to see his family and stuff. So,
okay.
he then asked me the second time we met if I would put it up.
Okay.
So, yeah, yeah.
Sick.
But yeah, I'm in four American crews, and they're all quite important, which is really nice.
Cool. Go on, list them out.
TDS, which is the Death Squad.
Yeah,
of course.
Because I'm good friends with Part One, and
he painted here a couple of times.
Yeah.
He's a good
dude. He picked up my kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, is it?
Pick up the Utes to take a photo.
Oh,
yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
Nice.
You got to find that photo.
And then West Coast Artists, which is WCA.
Okay.
Pyro put me in, and he's one of the kind of original LA writers. It's like people from LA aren't even in that crew. Yeah. Same with TDS, do you know what I mean? So for me to be put in these crews, it's real honor for me.
TDS is a fucking big crew.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I'm in HOD, which is Hands of Doom, which started in Baltimore. And then everybody from that crew moved to different cities and then took over those cities. So it's a really well-respected crew there. And Form, P-H-O-R-M, moved to Italy, met Twesh, and then moved to England. And then we hung out a lot. Okay. And they wanted people from Europe to be in it, and they chose me.
I was going to ask, is there an element of, obviously there's an element of, because there's so many crews and so many people putting people down left, right, and center for different types of reasons.
Yeah.
Like, because you're painting all the fucking time.
Yeah.
So if I was in a crew and I wanted to get that crew name out, I would target someone like you, you know what I mean?
For
to
sure.
put in it. You
but
know
I mean,
mean?
But I travel a lot.
Yeah.
And but I'm in a ridiculous amount of crews. But I only said no to three. And then we weren't ever friends again because I said no. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
But they were so upset that I said no. So
for you to put up a crew, what kind of things do you think in your head? Obviously the history
I want to go back to TDS. What does TDS stand for? The Death Squad.
The Death Squad, yeah.
When was it made?
1975.
1975.
Yeah. The year I was born.
You're in you're in the one of the graph crews.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's an absolute honor. Do you know what I mean? I'm in loads of European crews, and I'm also in London
fuck
crews.
Fuck those European crews. After Parts, they wouldn't exist if it wasn't for people like TDS. Oh,
wow. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. That's an incredible. That's the golden era crew.
Yeah, man. It's an absolute achievement for me. Like every time I was asked to be put in these crews, I've always sat there and had a little giggle. So before I said yes, I was like, all my haters are going to be really upset with this one. Yes, I would love to be in your crew. No, but so me and my brother started ID. So it was only supposed to be me and him. Do you know what I mean? And then he put in Immerse. I put in Job. Then we put in Pref. Relay, then, you know what I mean, it was just, it kind of moved up from, we got 13 people in our crew, but
yeah
fuck your crew, I'm talking about TDS.
No, but normally I only put up three crews.
Yeah, and you don't want to go overboard on the piece with crews around.
Yeah, well, at some point, I'm going to try to make
the schemes are just crew names.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Yeah, at some point, I'm going to do my name out of my crews.
And it kind of shows to your character, you know, you're a personable dude, you're a likable guy, and you're a dope artist, and you paint very, very often, and all the elements, you'd be the perfect member of any crew, really. But for you, when you're deciding to put up a crew or not a crew, what kind of elements go through your head first? Obviously, like I said, the history of the crew and the dopeness.
It's my friendship with those people.
And the friendship, yeah. Because I think that's vital, man.
For sure.
I think that's vital.
Yeah, man.
To be down in
then
the
bumpkin
test.
What is your favorite country to paint in that you've traveled in?
The best scene I've ever seen in my life was Indonesia.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
really?
Man. Yeah, okay. It's incredible. Like,
I thought you were gonna say Croatia or some shit.
I love those places. But the best scene that I've ever come across.
Was that the Meeting of Styles? You went there.
Yeah.
How many times have you been there?
Just once.
Once. Okay.
But
Meeting of Styles.
Yeah, but the thing is like,
I'm in TDS, bitch.
No, but you know what I mean? Like there's no separation between street art and graffiti. It's all the same thing. So, and each week they all meet up and have drawing classes. So people who do street art can have really good tags and they have really good throw-ups because they've been taught by the elders. Do you know what I mean? And if somebody buys a t-shirt, then all the writers buy that person's t-shirt.
They support the scene.
And then, because they're the coolest guys and girls in the city, people go, oh, where'd you get that t-shirt? And they're like, off that guy.
You're basically describing Almshouse.
And I'm like, why the fuck isn't it like that in the UK? Do you know what I mean? It's like everybody fucking hates each other. They're like, fuck that guy, I hate him. Because he's doing well.
Do you think there's an element of being jaded over it? Like, you know, oh, it's another t-shirt by another writer, you know what I mean? Whereas in places like Indonesia, where it's still, obviously there's history there and stuff like that. It's not like it's a new culture, but it's not as prevalent, you know what I mean? Maybe.
No, I think it's more.
I've got OCBs for you, bruv.
Oh, cool. Yes. That would be great. I've
got loads of OCBs for you.
Yeah, there's time for an ad read, but yeah, go on.
I would say that. Oh, thanks, man. I would say these are much better.
Yeah.
Sorry, OCBs.
Oh, yeah, don't be saying the R word.
Sorry.
You can't say the R word on the pod. Yeah, we've slipped up a couple times.
Yeah, sorry. It's slang.
Easy people, OCB ad read, hit me.
OCB rice, the ones I just gave to Tizer, the most recent ones are organic and chlorine free. They're made of a blend of rice and organic hemp. The unbleached, ultra-thin papers deliver a premium, rolling, and slow-burning experience for that natural taste.
Yeah, boy.
OCB.
Big up OCB every time, man. But Indonesia, yeah, like fucking, yeah. So, like culturally, they support people, the underdogs.
Well, if people have beef, they get the two people, they lock them in a glass shop front.
No way.
And they just give them tea.
Yeah.
And they have to drink tea, and because after drinking that much tea, you need a piss.
Okay.
And they won't let them out until they make up.
That's sick.
Which is incredible. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yes.
Don't let beefs fester. This is from Infamy.
Oh, another sponsor of the pod, yeah.
Nice. Where's that from?
That's from us.
Yeah.
From directly from the company.
They're like an ink brand. You can get 10% discount using the discount code ARMSHOUSE10 on Infamy's Big Cartel.
Nice.
And these are OCBs.
Yeah.
Premium Slims with little roach bits.
Oh, nice. Thank you very
much. And these ones are the rice ones.
Nice.
Which is supernatural.
Yeah, that's great. So when I went to the Meeting of Styles, I was being shown around by the main organizers.
Yeah.
And I was like, you guys writers? And they were like, yeah. And then I was like, oh, what do you write? And they told me. And I was like, oh, you guys are amazing. Why the fuck are you not painting? And they were like, oh, we painted last year. This year is the next up and coming people. We want them to become world famous. And I was like, holy shit, that would never happen in the UK.
Yeah,
we're doing a jam. Me and my mates get the best wall, and all you suckers get all the whack shit. Do you know what I mean?
Come to the Almshouse Graph Jam, where that will be happening this year.
No, but I was. It was really special.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
It's, no, that's amazing, man.
Everybody's accepted.
You travel a lot for Graph, don't you? You're always out and about.
Yeah. Well, it was.
How many times have you left the country to do Graph? Countless times.
Yeah.
Damn. Spraycations.
Yeah, but you know, like what I try to tell people all the time is, I'm like, yo, if you don't do cocaine, you can travel.
Yeah, you got the money.
You know what I mean? I'm like, and they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, the money you spend, you can get a flight for 20 quid somewhere.
Bulgaria.
Walk into the graffiti shop with some beer and go, hi guys, I'm on holiday.
Yeah.
Does anyone want to paint? And they're like, yeah. And then halfway through the day, if you're not a cunt, they're like, where are you staying? And you're like, oh, that shitty fucking hostel. And they're like, why the fuck are you staying there? Just stay on my couch. And you're like, sick.
Yeah.
And then you become friends with people. And then
We've spoken of this on the pod a couple of times. The even if it's a country with a different, completely different language, there's a universal language with graff. Like you said, you walk into the local paint shop or the local hip hop shop or whatever, and you can just make links and like
dressed in a hat like that. You know what I mean? And they're gonna be like, "Yo, what's up?"
Yeah, yeah. But they all of the terminology is the same around the world.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a throw up tag piece. Do you know what I mean? Even if you don't speak the same language, you're like, peace? And they're like, yeah.
And they're like, yeah.
But you know what I mean? You can make amazing friends you're not a cunt.
If you're not a cunt, exactly. Yeah. If you open yourself up and drop the ego, you know what I mean, to a certain degree. Yeah, man. There's always somewhere. Even in Saudi Arabia, I was there for work. And through Instagram, I linked some kid. I didn't end up painting or anything, but it almost happened, you know what I mean? Because I just didn't have time to get around to doing it. But anywhere in the world now, that's the beauty of it. And that's the culture element of it, you know, is that universal language, universal music.
There's only three things. It's BMXing, skateboarding, and graffiti, where you can ring up your friend and go, do you know anybody in this country? Yeah. And they're like, yeah, call up that guy. And then people go, oh, come and stay at my house.
Yeah.
And You're not a tourist anymore. You're a local because they're taking you to the local spots. Cheap places to eat, the cool bars. Like when I was in a relationship,
you're not getting ripped off anymore.
Because London was like Paris or New York. Do you know what I mean?
A bit difficult, a bit more walled off.
Were just moody cunts.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were trying to rob the people that were coming to hook up with them and. Graffiti writers are street dudes. They know when they're getting set up. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, so me and my brother became the kind of go-to people because if they had girlfriends, I would give their girlfriends to my girlfriends and they would go off and do girly shit while we went and painted.
Yeah.
And then we'd meet up for dinner or a cool...
And this is from way before the internet. The internet obviously exploded this a bit more. It's a bit more easier now to hit up writers in different places, but... Even way before the internet, this was standard, normal practice.
But then, like, people would give out my phone number to people, and then I would just get random phone calls.
Right.
And I'd be like, do you want to stay at mine?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And people aren't going to send over dickheads because that will give them a bad name.
It's the vouching process. You know, you vouch for this dude. You go, okay, you vouch for him, boom. Cool.
But that was the same with graffiti. Before 2000s was that you didn't tell anybody that you did graffiti. It was when you were trusted that you were introduced to people. And
did you have a bad experience though?
Yeah.
Like where someone vouched for someone and they came and they took the absolute piss? No. Okay, cool.
No, I had bad experiences in London of people being cunts.
Well, yeah.
And then... But then, you know, like when I was 14, I went to Unity... And I saw one of my favorite writers and I was like, because I never used to tell anybody that, but he was my favorite writer at that time. I'm not going to say.
Okay. Elk.
No.
Okay. Snatch.
No.
Okay. Why not?
Okay. Why won't I tell?
Huh?
Yeah. Why not?
You just don't want to be.
No, because he was such a cunt to me.
Oh, right.
Oh, you know, right.
Fair enough.
But I was like, I was small and skinny.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't a big cunt. Like I am now. And that person was like 19 and he was around like early 20 year olds and there was like 8 of them. They all just he just dissed me in front of all of them. And I stood there taking it for like 45 minutes like, motherfucker. And then when I left, I was like, fuck that guy.
Just
like,
taking these harsh beats.
But I was just like, he's trying to bully a fucking kid.
Yeah.
So I was
You were 14.
Yeah, and I was like, fuck that guy. And that made me be like, oh no, I'm never going to be like that to any writer.
Trying to work out who he was.
But the thing is, because people can change though. I was a cunt back in the day.
So was
I. I'm sure I shat on some people's dreams. I don't even remember doing it. That's the fucked up thing.
I do.
Yeah, and then later down the line, you know, people can change and fix up and, you know,
You start a podcast and your co-host says you used to whip people around the face with the bike chain. And you're like, no, I never. And you tell him where it happened, Haven Green, outside Edinburgh Station. It never happened.
No, I had the belt. I had the Versace belt that had studs on it that I got off my rich cousin. He gave me, he used to hand me down all his stuff. And this one belt, anytime, any, I'll just like that.
Licking people with your belt. Yeah.
It's fucked up.
But back then, you know, like whenever me and my brother would paint together, I would turn around at one point and be like, did you bring a weapon? And he'd have a giggle and he'd pull out like some massive screwdriver or a mini axe.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and it would be like, oh, cool. Right. Well, nobody's fucking with us today.
Yeah. You know? And also even back then, I'd hear stories and going into the 90s. So I experienced it to a degree, like the hip hop gigs you'd go to, like, you know, in London, there was shit would kick off all the fucking time, man, you know, and the drum and bass raves and all that stuff as well. Yeah. It's a mad time, mad place. But
I went to see the Fugees in Brixton.
Yeah.
And one geezer just said, I had to bend over so he could build a zoo. I did it for the whole concert.
He's using him as a rolling table.
A little tiny little white geezer with a little huge blonde mop. And everyone's like a gangster. This is like height of Brixton in 95.
96.
He's like, we're my beg you make a table, innit? And I'm like, what? Like, what? He's just like, bam.
Didn't you say as well, didn't a big tune come on? You were like, hey, like that, yeah, and you spilt his zoo, and then you pissed him off. And his missus saved you or something. I remember you telling me the story.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? But back then, because me and my brother and my friends used to go to hip-hop nights, and we were skinny little white kids, do you know what I mean? There weren't any white kids back then. Do you know what I mean? Like, loads of old-school guys who are coming out the woodwork, like, yeah, I was there, and we were like, I don't remember your ass there. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? We were like getting punched in the head, like, you fucking fake B-boys, you're white, not black. And we were like, okay, let's go over to this side. Like, we might not get punched again. But we never had any good shit to steal anyway. Yeah. All we had was the ticket. And we were like, I'm not giving up my ticket. You know?
You're going to have to pry this out of my cold, dead hands. You know, we did an episode a while ago, a whole episode about graffiti characters.
Yeah,
and you know, Mo2 came up, and like, we're talking about UK Zombie, obviously the classic, and your name came up quite a lot as well, just on the character basis. I was wondering, what do you think? Like, kind of, I know it's a quite general question, but when you're approaching doing a character, because you were saying before about when you paint, you freestyle a lot to capture the mood you're in at that moment in time. I'm very much like that as well. I like to be anyway. You use a lot of humor in your graph as well.
That's how, like, me and my brother, when we were painting together a lot, we wanted to try to be different from everyone else. Mm. And back then there was only maybe three or four crews that were doing full color productions, like visual, orgasmic,
VOP crew. Yeah, VOP, PFB lot.
Well, I mean,
but they were more bombers.
Yeah, they didn't really do full backgrounds and stuff. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, they mostly did their pieces and then something on the
side. They did the Unity.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'm not taking away from any of the graffiti writers at all, but for us to be different, we were like, oh, we'll try to do full color productions, because we were doing painting and decorating as a job anyway, so we had untold mulch.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And my brother was better at letters and I was better at characters, and I thought, with the same amount of paint for a piece, I could do 7 or 8 characters, and I could do them in between everybody's pieces, and then I'd be in everybody's photograph.
There we go.
But then also, there was only a few people that did characters, and most of the time it was a afterthought of their graffiti.
Like a space filler.
Yeah.
Gap fillers and stuff like that.
But then I realized after a while that I just became background bitch. And I was like, fuck that. And then also I needed to start getting good at letters. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, I don't want to be just the character guy. Because there was like Dref, who was really good at characters. Yeah, Dref, and then like obviously Mo2, and there was and Zombie, and you know what I mean? Like, there were certain people that were really good at characters.
Like Zombie now, like we were talking, his characters now has become one of his letters now. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Even the way he throws them up, everything. Yeah. It's like just like it's this throw up. It could be his.
You know what surprises me? I've got one in my house, and everyone who doesn't do graph asks me what it is.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, they can't tell.
They can't see what it is. And I'm like, as soon as I go, that's an afro.
Yeah.
you know, this thing is here, like a little walk, yeah. And you're like, oh shit, and they.
It's so
but nobody
stylized,
can
yeah.
see what it is.
And unless we you take do it for graph. Granted, yeah.
Yeah, but that's
we've seen
because
so
we've grown up with that character, and it's like yeah, a little bit.
You yeah, but hang. Graffiti's a language that you need to study to be able to understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like Traffic said to me years ago, I was like, man, people ask me what it says, and it's like easy bubble letters. I'm like, how the fuck can you not read that?
No, yeah. That
and then he was like, well, can you, do you understand Russian? And I was like, no. And he went, well, it's a language you need to learn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, so when I've painted in Leek Street and stuff, people go, oh, I really like that. And I'm like, oh, can you read it? And they're like, no.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, there's five letters. Try and figure out the letters.
I always do that. I was like,
and I show them and I'm like, yo, if you like a bit of graffiti, if you stand in front of it long enough, you'll figure out that there's either 3 to 6 letters in that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
you can figure it out after a while. Do you know what I mean? No matter how complicated it is.
Yeah. And it's difficult because, like the theme said, we've grown with it. It's been a big part of our lives for such a massive chunk of it. We can't even think like someone who's never done graph, doesn't know about it.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, the dumb shit people say when they come up to you. And it's not dumb. It's because they just don't know. Like, for example, you'll be in Leek Street painting and then they'll be like, oh, did you do all these?
Yeah.
How long? It's like what? Kind of,
how long did that take? And you're like 2 hours, and they're like, what? Like I thought you were here for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And you're like, nah, you're like, man.
They have no concept or grasp of any part of it. You know, the proper bods I'm talking. But again, through time, as it's become more accepted and you know more open, and people being less, it's less demonized. People learn. They learn bits and bobs. People
yeah,
pick
but
up
it's,
bits.
I mean, people sit there and they moan about Banksy, but. Banksy.
Oh, he was a big part.
No, no, but once he made £1 million, people were like, oh,
yeah.
Graffiti's important.
Yeah, it's
and they were like, oh,
now.
Maybe if you paint something, you might be the next Banksy and they might have something that's worth something.
Yeah.
Do you know? No, but you know what I mean?
Once the money came into it, then they attached value to it, whereas the value we get from it is not monetary whatsoever.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, but people sit there and they moan about him, but you're like, why do you hate him? Like, you're like, he's the most famous artist in the world and he's English.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, if you were that famous, I'm sure you wouldn't want everybody to hate you. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I can't hate on the dude personally.
Was like, I met him like 9 times before he was famous.
Oh, right, okay.
And he was cool as fuck. And then I became better friends with Robbo later on.
Yeah, yeah.
And this one time me and him were painting and he was like, oh, Ed, you can put up Team Robbo. And I went, yeah, watch this. And I wrote Team Robbo. And then I went, and Team Banksy.
Oh,
and
you
me
fuck
and, no, but both of us had hysterics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we were, but like, I never believed the beef anyway.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like,
when they meet by the end of it, before obviously Robbo tragically passed away, and rest in peace. But I heard that they were like, they were chatting a little bit, but I could be wrong. I mean, but I remember hearing that.
I never believed it.
Okay, fair enough.
I never believed the beef.
Oh, is it the beef in the whole beef? In
yeah,
general? Yeah. It was all this like a publicity thing, you think, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Because I mean, Robbo was then doing his gallery
things, yeah, for
and
sure.
You know, he was trying to get into the art world, and what better fucking way than having a beef story on Channel 4 than
yeah,
a fucking
for sure.
documentary
but that,
about it.
That brought him back, and it also made people realize he's important.
Yeah.
Which was good for everybody.
I think so too.
Some random person's put a documentary on YouTube about graffiti beef, Robbo versus Banksy. Like, completely random person.
Mm.
And the amount of people that take that as gospel.
Yeah.
So when something comes up on something different, like Instagram, about Banksy and Robbo, about the beef, about the, you know,
well,
whatever, it's just like one person said, oh, no, I know about this.
Yeah.
This is because there's a man, and just reciting the bits of the documentary.
Yeah,
there's some random person has just put up. It's the definition of don't believe everything you read.
Yeah. Chinese whispers as well, because things get changed as like someone reads another person's comment and then tries to comment it themselves to make out like they know
like,
what happened.
Things like beefs and that, graph beefs, everyone wants to say that they know about it.
Yeah
but it's really not important.
It's not.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so most of the time people
But the facts are important. Like this
yeah,
this
yeah.
person's like from fucking, I don't know, wherever. chatting about Robbo and Banksy.
Yeah, but most London beefs, I'm not talking about Robbo Banksy here, but most London beefs end up in just everyone calling each other a nonce. That's usually how they
Well, that's the easiest. That's the easiest
that's
way.
The easiest, the most agreeable way
to say somebody's a grass or say they're a
grass
nonce,
or a nonce. That's it.
And then you're instantly but you're instantly vilified. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, over the years of me talking to people who were snitches, you're like, oh, it's really interesting to hear the other side of the story because you're like, this doesn't really match up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you're like,
yeah.
And also, what they say about wars, the winner is the one that gets to write the history book
or
whatever.
Sure.
So the most popular one who gets the thing out the quickest, that's it. Their story kind of reigns supreme, no matter what the fucking truth is. Yeah, I pay no mind to most of that shit.
So when people talk about people being snitches, I'm like, I want to see, I want to see some documentation of them being a snitch. Because otherwise, it's just whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly, it's like, man. It just gets thrown around. We were even talking about this earlier, me and Theme. When you're in the height of something emotional, you can say and maybe even do something you instantly regret.
Yeah, but that's how London worked. Was they try? If you got good, people tried to bully you out of the scene because they didn't want you to achieve.
That happened a lot.
And it was just like, so now, because graffiti's... now that graffiti's become universal, do you know what I mean? People can't really act like they used to. Do you know what I mean? So a lot of people are now trying to pretend that they're really nice now.
Yeah.
And you're like, I remember how much of a cunt you were. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But, you know, and hopefully people do get better and older. Do you know what I mean? And
I think it's inevitable. You kind of have to at some point kind of grow up a bit, you know. But then again, you know, we know some people who just haven't either. You know,
for sure.
They still have that ego. They still have that...
On the way here.
Yeah, exactly. Like...
Well, it becomes really boring. Do you know what I mean? Because you're just like, okay, yeah, whatever, man. Like, yeah, you're cool and I'm a pussy, whatever. Yeah,
all right, bringing it back to characters,
Yeah, sorry.
Who's one of your favorite characters that people do? I remember you, I saw a picture of you with Nash from France.
Yeah.
His characters are next level.
No, he's from Amsterdam.
Oh, Amsterdam, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, not Amsterdam, but the Netherlands, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, like... Yeah, he was incredible.
I thought he was French. He's in Love Letters crew.
Yeah.
And where's Duz from?
He's from the Netherlands.
He's Dutch as well, yeah. Okay. I love all them lot, man. Nash was ill with the character. Who's one of your favorite characters?
My favorite writer when I was a kid was Darius Green.
Oh, shit, of course.
And then Armour from... from Wales.
Armour?
R-M-E-R.
Okay, cool. I'll look that up.
He's incredible. He's dope. There's so many good artists now. Do you know what I mean?
Mad.
Like, I mean, as a kid, I obviously loved Mode, and then who else did I like? Yeah, just all of like the FC characters from New York. Do you know what I mean? Like all the kind of shark characters and the B-boy characters. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah.
As a kid, I always really wanted to be able to do something good. You know, I didn't want to... Years ago, when people would do joiners, I never wanted to be the wackest person.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't need to be the main person where people were like, wow, that guy's amazing. I just didn't want to be the person where I'm like, why did they invite him? Either he's 14 years old or he's like a thug.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, or he's really old school.
Why did they invite him?
You know.
You know what? We had a little bit of controversy. Not even. But we were talking about this kind of new fad thing called anti-style that's kind of going around. And at first, because we were talking about this Ron Wright and Nokia, who's from Belgium, I think. He paints he paints a hell of a lot of trains, but in a really crude, fucked up, like a five-year-old drew it.
Yeah.
But they've done so much that they're really highly respected. And,
for sure.
And the humor in the art, I can see. But at first, my first instinctual thing was, can this dude actually paint? Is he doing this on purpose? Is he doing it just to be funny? Is he doing it to take the piss or something? Like, what's all this stuff? So I kind of threw that out there, and everyone thought that was me dissing Nokia, which I wasn't dissing them. I just wanted to know if he cared.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I care about is if you care.
Well, the thing is a lot of people, at the moment, I think it's cool to look like you're not bothering.
That's what I've learned. And
we were debating, it's quite difficult. If you can paint, it's quite difficult to paint that dog shit.
To paint badly, yeah.
Yeah. And then Maddie went out and did it.
Yeah.
Because people got my were saying, you can't paint. Sketch. You can't paint that. You can't. And he's like, of course I can fucking paint that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fucking. Like,
it's not difficult.
Dog shit. Yeah. It turned out that it was someone's daughter that drew the diagram, the fucking sketch. Right. Was done by like a
I think Nokia's
toddler.
Kid, that's what I heard, rumor, but again, nothing solid. But like apparently, yeah,
Nokia gets
his kid to do the sketch, right. Then he sketches it like as if his kid drew it, which is a difficult process to do. It's not easy, but it's not super difficult either.
I look at everything. So, do you know what I mean? I just wanted to add as well, you never know who's going to be the next king. Do you know what I mean?
That's
like
true.
What you think is toy, that person, if they take it seriously, might end up being the best writer ever. Do you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. Like, and all I really wanted to know is if they cared, you know, about graph, about this thing that we love, you know what I mean?
And, well, the thing, because we're from a different era than a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And the way that I always looked at it was the kids from the late 60s all the way through the 80s, they were from rougher backgrounds than most of the kids now.
Yeah,
and
that's for sure.
They also stole their paint, and they tried to do the best thing they could possibly do with what they had, because that's your name.
And they painted trains.
Yeah, but no matter what you do, you should be trying to do the best thing you can do. And it doesn't matter, you can do bad graffiti as well, it doesn't matter.
But I think what I've learned
since... about
since
doing it instead of worrying about it.
Exactly. And that's kind of the conclusion I kind of reached by the end. Like, because I've reached out to a bunch of people, a lot of people messaged us at first going, you're old boomers, you're old men, fucking fix up, blah, blah, blah. But then once you start chatting to them, going, no, I'm here to learn, man. Teach me. You know what I mean? What is this Andy Starr? And I learned a lot of the people who consider themselves... who other people consider them to be anti-style, they don't label themselves as anti-style.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just they're doing something different.
For sure.
You know?
But
Which is fine.
Yeah,
there's
but you're supposed to try to do something
exactly.
different.
Exactly, you have to.
You know
to,
what I mean?
Man.
It's like, so that's why I don't really understand why people have such a problem with street art. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're painting, like, I'd rather see something painted than not. And if you're doing something original, then fucking do your shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't need to see a black and white stencil. Like, you've got Banksy, you got WK from New York, who was doing lots of that kind of stuff. And it's important to try to be different and original. Do you know what I mean? I would rather see somebody... I mean, I don't need to see Wonder Woman with a machine gun. But
yeah.
I mean,
or George Bush, like going. Oh,
yeah, but
he's
that's
a cunt,
that's
whatever.
Trump, no, but they cool. Be political.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine. Like, and if you're saying something cool, I mean, most of the time I feel that graffiti's political enough as it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I do political bits of graffiti, I normally do it as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the message behind
there's
it.
Still a
serious
thing.
You know what I mean? It's,
for sure. But yeah. And the conclusion I ended up with is just, it's more the fans of anti-art just want to act, and they're young and they want to be different and they want to be, you know, they don't want to be bogged down with the history and stuff like that to a certain degree. But I think at the end of the day, if you want to break the rules, you got to know what the rules are first.
We had comments like, oh, look, another old person trying to force rules down our neck and shit like that.
And then they kept bringing up the writers from the 70s, going, look, they were more free back then. We're kind of emulating them. And I'm like, yeah, but they were trying their fucking best, like you just said, and they were using the tools they had available to make the best thing they could possibly. They didn't think they were painting whack.
Yeah, but
and the rules that you're shunning, they're the ones that made the fucking rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ones you're looking up to. They're the ones who set the rules up, these so-called rules, you know?
Yeah, but then you have to look at what the influences were then.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Like
comic books,
you got cereal boxes, every product in America in the 70s had a character next to their
little emblem or character. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So also kids were into kung fu and b-boying. Yeah. So then you started in the 80s, you started seeing the people's letters like kung fu letters. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was also about protecting your peace.
Oh yeah, the arrows and that, like attacking, yeah. And then.
But they all mean different things.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like arrows pointing up means you're going up in society. If you're going sideways, it means you're going places. If it's down, you're down by law.
How is it? Okay,
if it's inwards,
that.
It's look at me, or it's self-destruction. Because either they're bombs, spears, or knives.
Yeah.
But then, if you do a piece that's like a castle, then you have the things to protect it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah. I didn't know that.
No, I knew about the protecting and the attacking thing.
Yeah, that's about knowledge went.
Yeah. But then, yeah, with the inwards and outwards and upwards and
downwards.
And everybody's supposed to have their own arrow. Do you know what I mean?
It's but if you think about it,
kind of shit.
We had a graph critique once. I think it was Icon was the writer, and he had an arrow. He had just simple letters, and then on his end, he just had an arrow going like that, yeah? And we were gunning him, going, you don't want a floppy arrow, bro. Yeah. You want an arrow like that's erect, you know what I'm saying? That's like kind of doing something, going places. I swear, we were using that language to describe it. You don't want to be flopping down.
But it should, like, your arrows should come from somewhere. It shouldn't just, like...
just appear, yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, but you can do whatever you fucking want.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Like, now, because of, like, European graffiti... you could have blobs as letters. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it's supposed to evolve, and it's supposed to change, like all of hip hop.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Stagnation is the biggest thing that's gonna fucking kill a culture or kill a fucking thing. You know, you don't wanna be stagnant, but you also don't wanna go, in my opinion, too far off where now it's completely unrecognizable. Maybe once or twice as a thing, but if it all, everyone now, let's say one of these anti-stylers doesn't even do letters, he just does something weird, yeah? And now he influences a whole generation of people just doing weird shit, and then next thing you know, it's kind of lost all...
Yeah, but there's always going to be people who will do a specific...
The boomers in the back.
No, but like, people will always try to do... You should try to do different shit.
I think so.
You know
too.
What I mean? But, you know, it's like, why try to emulate somebody else's style? I mean, like, everybody gets influences from other things. But you can look at other things besides graffiti to get influence from. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. And we remember talking to Artic about that. He says he gets most of his inspiration from outside of graffiti.
Yes.
And I remember in the 90s, originality was such a fucking important thing as well. So you don't want to be biting, you don't want to be copying. So you had to kind of come up with something a bit different. But back, because you've always been artistically inclined, have you always kind of drawn and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, when I first started doing graffiti, I didn't really know what the fuck.
Because as a kid,
doing.
I used to draw like Garfield, for example, was a big one. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah. What did you have when you were a kid? Was there something you used to copy and draw? Like,
well, me and my brother, we were really into comic books.
Yeah.
So I would try to recreate a like one of the squares.
And oh, see right, if I and could draw
draw it.
Yeah, I used to do
but
that
then,
as well.
Because when I was about 9, I realized that I wanted to either be like an illustrator or do animation or something like that. So with my black books, once I got to kind of, I don't know, 17, I started trying to make every single page in my black book look completely different. So it would look like somebody else drew it.
Oh wow, okay.
So
different
like
styles. Wow.
Yeah, so I'd try to learn how to draw upside down, or I would make an image just out of horizontal lines,
okay,
or something out of circles, so that if I taught myself how to draw everything, then if anybody said, hey, can you draw this, I might be able to.
You'd be able to, yeah. I was the same way. I used to be the kid in school that everyone would come to and go, Maddie, draw me this.
Yeah.
Like, draw me the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but not as turtles, as moles. I remember one kid, that stuck in my memory, and I did the Teenage Mutant, with, you know, with the bandanas and the weapons, but they weren't turtles, they were moles, yeah? Right. Just like weird shit like that. Brother, listen, that's been beautiful.
We've got graph critique.
We need to get into a bit of graffiti critique powered by OCB. I'll put the list in there. All right, first one. We got this sent in. Kios. think he's from Liverpool. He gets out and about. He paints. He's quite prolific. Yeah, he paints a lot. Have you met him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
He's a cool guy.
Really cool guy.
Yeah, he's a skateboarder.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so, he's a good boy.
He used to write in the kind of early 90s and then got fully busted.
Oh, wow.
And then carried on skateboarding, had kids, and then his wife was like, why don't you paint graffiti again? And he was like, yeah, right.
What a woman.
Yeah.
What a woman.
No, but do it in a Liverpool accent.
Hey, why don't you go back outside?
Fucking paint
the graph.
No, I really like his stuff. It's simple,
brash.
Yeah, it's solid.
It's clean.
Yeah, man.
But a nice funky feel to it. I like the little dots he's got around him instead of the one time.
Yeah, I've always liked his
stuff. What do you call that? Key line, one time? What do you call it? One.
There's different names for all of it.
Like, yeah, I know. What do you call it though? That's what I'm asking.
Me and my brother used to call it a pop out because it would pop your piece out.
I heard someone call it the ready break line. Mm. Remember that ready break adverts where you eat ready break and you have a glow.
In Germany, it's called a force field.
Force field.
Or a double outline, a second, barrier.
Nobody calls it a border.
Some people call it border.
That's the only word I use for it.
One time is a London thing, I think. I've only heard Londoners call it a one time. But okay, we give him usually out of 10. I mean, you know, Kiosk is established dude.
This is throwing me. We've never had a graph critique where the guest knows the critique.
Knows the guy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah, he sent this in. He loves the show. Big up Kiosk, man.
Yeah, man. He's a cool guy.
For what it is, you know what I mean? Nice location.
Yeah, man.
Nice colors. Crisply done. Does the job. He got rid of some of the background to make it pop. But I can't give it out of 10. Obviously above average. But, you know, but it's still simple.
Six and a half. Six and a half.
I'm going to go higher than that. I'm going to go
seven and a half.
I'll go seven.
Which is a good score, you know?
I'm just leaving space for super duper shit.
All right, there's one more. This says port, P-O-R-T. It's a chrome dub, black outline, light blue.
Done this year.
Force field.
Yeah.
NBS crew in the T and a 2026.
Never buy sugar.
Never buy sugar.
There you go.
Never biting styles. Okay, so we have no idea about these people, where it's done, how old they are.
Yeah.
It looks like maybe a younger person or someone who's maybe a year deep. How many years do you think this guy's been painting just by looking at that dub?
I'd say about a year.
Yeah, a year I'm looking at. Cause it's,
maybe
cause
longer. But
there's a bit of confidence in the line, but the letters and the structure of the letters, the wavy bits, the way it points out.
I think...
Wavy guts.
Yeah, I would say for him next time to try and get the similar segments.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? The P... the dot of the P should be further, next to the...
Should line up with the backbone.
Yeah.
And you have a P and an R, yeah? The P and R are basically the same letter, just the R has a little extra leg ducking out.
Yeah.
I can see he's tried to continue it, but, you know, you have a reference there with the P.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? There's, you know, you went too far off with the P. The O is too wiggly. It looks like it could be a lowercase A with that little thing jutting out on the right. I don't know. And the hole in the O doesn't make much sense. I guess like what he was trying to do is like going wonk wonk and then this bit coming round and attaching to that bit.
Years ago when I went and did a track side with Immerse, and when we left, I was like, oh, what did you think of my dub?
Yeah.
And he was like, it was kind of whack. And I was like, what?
What do you mean?
And he was like, well, you're trying to run before you can walk.
Oh, wow.
And he was like, start off with block letters, do a thick outline, because if you look at sub, he never did a drop shadow or a 3D, he just did a fuck off thick outline.
Yeah.
And it always looks good. He was like, once you learn how to do that, then learn how to crack it. Then learn how to do actual block letters with 3D on it. And then once you learn that, then start trying to do bubble letters, because bubble letters are harder than you think they are, to actually make them look like they're bouncy or soft style.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then he was like, then then start trying to do bar letters. And then once you've good at all three of those, then you can mix all of them together. You can have bits that bubble out or...
And we tell them every week, we pretty much tell them the same thing. Bring it back, simple. Rein it in. But then we were all kids as well. Yeah, we want to do
the thing
flexi
is,
bits.
It's like all the letters are the same height, which is great.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
all right, out of 10 for a dub, I'm going below average for this one. It's not the worst thing we've seen. So I'm going to hit it with a 3 out of 10 port.
Yeah.
3 sound reasonable?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe 2.5, 3,
I'd give them a 3. But it's, you know, like, keep on going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, keep doing it.
2.5.
2.5. All right, there's one more, and then we'll call it a day.
And I'll do an OCB ad read.
At first, I want to big up Slam for doing an
OCB. Yeah, I love that.
The OCB mat with the AHC.
Is that for the skateboard competition?
I really don't know. He should enter it. So I'm going to enter it for him.
Yeah.
Because that could be.
We're going to enter it on your behalf.
We're doing a skateboard competition. Send in. You still have a week and a half. Send in artwork and we will pick a winner, and the winner will get their artwork pressed onto the back of a skateboard, which will then you can then hang up in your house if you want. You know what I mean?
It's the only rules are you've got to have AHC and OCB.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be the main thing. It can be just a tag in the corner, but it has to include.
You should do it.
Yeah, I can do that.
That would be sick. All right, last one for the graph critique is this another dub. So it's Line, L-I-N-E, with a yellow star next to it. Red one time. Is that turquoisey kind of bluish bits around the outside, bubbles or something?
Yeah, it's cool.
He's got the face and the dot of the eye, the weird cracks going along the bottom. He hasn't properly
what
figured out how to
that?
Do cracks properly.
Is that chrome?
Yeah, it's a chrome.
Is it purple?
Oh, is it purple?
It's like a purple. I think it's a roller fill.
Yeah.
And then
with a bit of chrome in it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. I think... I like how it's bottom heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's continuity from the L to the E, the bottom heavy bits. Yeah.
Yeah. I would have squared off the dot of the I because the rest of the letters are square. Yeah, it's okay.
I think the cracks, he's gone too overboard. Yeah. We keep saying he, it could be a she. The cracks have gone a bit overboard. They're too wiggly to be cracked. Cracks should have maybe a little bit more of a jagged bit to it.
Yeah, man.
He
didn't need the kick on the top of the E.
Kick on the E.
It could have just been straight.
Looks like it was a window that goes in.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
got
but
confused a bit.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, so yeah.
It could have just been straight.
Yeah.
Because the top of the N.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
True,
like,
true.
He should have, with the L... The back bar of the L is a bit too thick.
Mm.
You know, it's cool.
Yeah.
Plenty of critique.
Job,
he gave that plenty of critique.
Yeah. What are we thinking? Score out of 10 for that one, man. So what did I give the port? I give the port 2.5.
I'm giving this 4.
I'll give that, above the port.
I'll give it a 4 too.
4 it is,
keep
Line.
Keep going, Line.
Keep going. And whoever we critique, man, send in later stuff. If you've improved maybe a bit or you've done a piece, if you sent in a dub, send in a piece. You know what I mean? And also we'd like to look at their hand styles as well, because obviously hand styles is, I know you place a lot of importance on the hand styles.
Well, I'd rather see a shit dub with amazing hand styles than an incredible piece with shit hand styles.
Me too. I agree.
Because that means that you've actually bothered.
You care. Shows that you care. And that's all.
Well,
I
you
care.
Are a bummer that you did actually do some tag.
Put your work in, son.
All right, last question, man. Who has been the most intimidating person that you've painted next to? Where you've painted next to someone going, fuck, you know, I got to do something. Or like, you know, you don't want to... Because you said you don't want to... You never want to be the wackiest guy on the wall. But I'm talking people you've painted next to, maybe in a particular scenario for some reason or something, where you're like...
Many years ago, I painted next to... J1 BBC from Paris.
Oh shit, okay.
And
you were in Paris?
No, he came to England and called me up.
Oh sick.
And was like, do you want to paint? And I was like, yeah. But like, I wasn't very good back then. I mean, and I'm still not. But you know what I mean? Like the...
humble.
the... Yeah, I was pretty intimidated. But painting next
J-A-Y
to...
J-A-Y O-N-E.
Yeah,
have you
yeah.
still got a flick of that piece?
No.
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 Oh, okay. Were you happy with what you ended up doing?
I'm never happy with what I do. That's what makes me paint all the time, because I'm always like, fuck! That's bullshit! Like, but then I'm really self-critical, and then like six months later I'll look back at it and be like, it's not that bad, but I still hate the E. Do you know what I mean? Like,
and like we've already said, you're very experimental. You're loosey-goosey even, like, and I mean that in the best way possible. You're always freestyling, you're always like kind of off the cuff, you know, doing
but
a lot of stuff.
But it's only graffiti. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, somebody's going to paint over it. It's not going to be there forever.
What's the word? It's where it's not going to last forever.
Transitional, finite.
Yeah. Now there is a word that I like to use, but I've completely forgotten what it is.
Yeah. I'm dyslexic, so I wouldn't know what that is, even if I knew what it was.
Ephemeral art form. Oh. Ephemeral is the word I like to use because it's and I think that's what one of the beauties of graph is, that it's like, you know.
Well, my mum. Was a fine artist, and she was like, oh, I'm really jealous of you and your brother, because I know that you guys just paint stuff and you know that it's gonna go. So there's a freedom to that, where she would sit and look at a canvas for about
months,
a week
sometimes,
to get the confidence to do it. And I was like, well, instead of just doing one canvas, why don't you do five at the same time? And if one's going wrong, work on the next one, and then you can go back to that.
That's good advice.
Do you know what I mean? Just so you end up having five paintings instead of one. And
when you get angry with something creatively and it's the only one in front of you, you're going to fuck it up.
Yeah.
Spray it black. Yeah. Go to the other three. One's a completely different picture.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah, cool.
Sick.
But yeah, I think it's important to just do as much as you can before you kick it.
Yeah, man. I agree. Big love, man. We got big ties. We're going to do a bit of painting now.
He's going to put me in TDS in about 5 seconds.
We'll get some footage, you know what I mean? And just big love, man. You are a geezer. Always loved meeting you, seeing you paint, doing your thing.
Thank you. You guys are the best.
We've been trying to get you on for ages.
Yeah.
We're lucky to have a guy like this, a good soul like this, here representing for our scene. You know
in our
mean?
Lives.
Yeah. I love that.
In
man.
Your lives.
Yeah. Big Tizer ID, salute!
Nice.
Love,
safe.
Man.
Safe.
Wicked.
Good to see you guys. Always.
Comes and rolls, six cents, builds entrapments, brings a whack absence, opens the core, splits you into fragments, stock and demand, while in command, I'm steady probing, despise lies and minimize like quotients, no heart, some envy, blocks of impediment, options lock, explains life in your memory, kid, you fail to demonstrate, this pain penetrates, your soul turns cold, your subconscious procrastinates, disorderly conduct constructs this intrusion, confusion, form is your illusion, your powerless position, I bypass. My assault will have you on hold permanent whiplash. Snaps, resulting in psychopsychotic raps. Heads take flight like it was aviated wax. Nobody is safe, don't relax. What? Some crippling tracks like shot straight to your backs from Yats. Never tax, mind state's original. My song technologically advanced, getting digital. Up in your physical, words of penetration. On a planet of vandals, we're cooking niggas living sick generations. Poisoning minds of nations. My rhyme lines are last signs of revelations. I speak this, all you can perceive is weakness. My click drops consecutive hits, he can't defeat from the get-go. Thoughts that are not parallel to mine. Jog up your back spine. Blow your damn mind by the words that I grabbed. Straight off the rap, kid. Project the bombshell to your local.
vocal staff and what and I bars up Z's will be front end. Talking mad nothing, hallucinating, they're the best. I suggest you manifest and put your so-called real that you got to arrest. Cause in the nine pound of flows in my rhymes will make your mind drown, flooding the gates of your brain with that bomb.
Do you think I need to go and paint that yellow BR, bruv?
Let me know if you need a hand, yeah? Because you've already made a cock up there, bruv. Do you know what I mean? That's not very good, is it? So TDS, yeah? 1975, yeah? You look it as well. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Wrinkled old geezer. It's going a bit Pete Tong. Where's all the normal actual graph bits? Do you know what I mean? I mean, are you bored of graph? One line! Oh, bollocks to you. Like, if we had to critique that bit, right? Going well over the rest of the piece, mate. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Chrome and black goes over everything. You're coming with your dodgy opal fruits. Dodgy opal fruits, bruv. That's not a B-boy character, is it, bruv? Mate, you've got a little doodah. A lot of doodahs on that are. Oh, God, and Bennett. What is that? Oh, God. No, it's too skinny, bruv. You don't want to do it like that. Don't want to do it like that, do ya? Do you want me to do it for ya? Because you're in TDS and I'm not, basically. There you go, mate. And then in there, and then look, there she goes.